Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
To know him is to be in awe of him, right? To know him is to be in awe of him because he is awesome. He's awesomely good and severe. Yes, that's what we're learning, right? The Bible says in Romans 11 that we're to behold both the goodness of God and the severity of God. So we're not just to behold just one. And so much of the body of Christ, they just behold one side of God. But we want to behold both. He is awesomely good. He is awesomely severe in his judgment. And that's why we fear him. The fear of God is still relevant for today. The fear of God is still to be very much a part of the body of Christ, the modern day church. We need the fear of God. The fear of God, it'll cause you to be strong. It'll keep you clean. It'll keep you out of trouble. It'll keep the devil out of your life. It'll cause demons to be afraid of you. The more you understand and walk in the fear of God, the more demons won't want to mess with you. Now, they still will have to at times because they're obligated to do it. You know, they can't just let you completely off the hook. They'd like to do it. They'd like to go hide in a cave somewhere. But they got to come out and they got to meddle with you. But they don't like it when you're walking in the fear of the Lord. And when you're walking in the fear of the Lord, the devil, even though he might meddle with you a little bit, he will have no victory in your life. He will not be able to successfully lure you into temptation. He'll tempt you, but he won't be successful at it. We'll always be tempted, but the devil will become less and less successful at tempting us as we get a hold more and more of the fear of God. And we fear God because of his judgments. And a lot of Christians have the idea today that, you know, judgment has nothing to do with a born-again child of God. But that's so far from New Testament teaching. That's so far from the Word of God, that kind of thinking. We very much need to fear God for his judgments in our life. That's why he says over in 1 Corinthians that if we would judge ourselves as Christians, we would not be judged. So when we understand the severity of God's judgment, then we're quick to judge ourselves if we miss it. But if you don't fear God because you don't believe that as a Christian you'll ever be judged for anything and that you won't come under judgment, that's not for Christians. Jesus took all my judgment so I can never come under judgment. And you have that kind of attitude, then you're not going to get a lot of things right real quick that need to get right real quick. Anything that is not right. The Bible says, he who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. So sin brings judgment. And so we need to judge it. We need to judge it. Thank God we can. Thank God we can judge sin. And if we'll do it, then we won't be judged. So remember, Jesus said over in Luke 12, don't worry about those who kill the body, but fear him, talking about God, fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. And then in Romans 11, he said, do not be haughty, talking to the church. He said, do not be haughty concerning your being saved and Israel being broken off from God, but fear. He's telling the church, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches or the Jewish people, he may not spare you as a Christian either. And that's what the Bible says over in Romans 11. Then Hebrews 10, in talking to Christians, in verse 27, he says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We went into detail in all these scriptures that I am mentioning. But here's a couple of new ones. Psalm 119 120. Psalm 119:120 declares, my flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. Now, I love Psalm 119. That was, you know, one of my favorite psalms or scriptures when I came into the knowledge of the Lord, got saved, and fell in love with his word. I just fell in love with God's word, and God was just teaching me things from this wonderful book. And Psalm 119, if you read it, it just goes on and on about how I love your law. I love your testimonies. I love your statutes. I love your word. I love your word. I love your judgments. I love. I love all these things. And here in Psalm 119, in the context of all this love and all this goodness, he has this also. He has this healthy fear of God, and he fears so much that his flesh trembles for fear of God's judgment. So here he's got this intense love, you know, this infatuation for the truth, for God's word. He knows how good God is to him. And Psalm 119 does how you have taught me since I was a child. Your word has given me understanding. And he just goes on and on praising God. So when we read verse 120 of Psalm 119, and think about verse 120, this is a big psalm. He says a lot of things about the goodness of God and God's word. He says a lot about a love relationship that he has with the Lord and that the Lord has with him. And yet right in the middle of that, he says, I am afraid of your judgments. I'm afraid. So it isn't just an isolated thing where you got this guy, he's just walking around in legalism and he's just afraid of judgment and he's under the law. No, that's not the spirit of Psalm 119. That's not the spirit of the psalmist. But in the midst of all this love and all this happiness with God, he says, I am afraid of your judgments. I tremble. And again, the fear of the Lord isn't just what modern church teaching has stated it to be or limited it to be, and that is just a reverence of God. No, it's a dread of God. It's being terrified by God's judgment. So when he thinks about God's judgment, there's this fear, there's this terror, but then at the same time, there's this incredible comfort that he has received from the Holy Spirit through the commandments, through the Word of God, through the law, that causes him to have this incredible love relationship with God. And that really is the balance. That's the goodness and severity of God. We need both in our lives to live balanced lives. How many people want to live a balanced life? The contemporary English version of Psalm 119, 120 says, I tremble all over when I think of you and the way you judge. See, he has a revelation of the severity of God. The New Life Version says, my flesh shakes in fear of you, and I'm afraid of how you may punish. So in other words, I don't want to come under God's punishment. I do not want to fall into judgment with God. And again, Jesus said that as branches, we need to abide in the vine. And he said, if we don't abide, which literally that word abide in the Greek means to remain in a continual state of expectation. In other words, to remain in faith. Faith is in a continual state of expectation with God. So we need to abide in the vine. It's not enough that we got plugged into the vine when we got born again. You have to remain. You have to remain. You got to be looking for the finish line. You got to watch, really about anything in life, but especially even salvation. We got to watch about patting ourselves on the shoulder prematurely or too hard. Oh, I'm saved. Praise God. Yes, you need to declare it. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm pressing. I'm pressing forward, fighting the good fight of faith, laying hold on eternal life. We're still fighting what? The good fight of faith. We're going to remain in a continual state of expectancy. We got to remain in faith. We got to keep our faith strong and continue to press in after God. Because remember, God said, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And he says, he who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. So you see, what are we sowing on a day-to-day basis? We need to be sowing seeds of faith, fighting the good fight of faith, laying hold on eternal life, sowing the seeds of faith that what? That we may reap eternal life. See, our works, our lifestyle, how we live our life is important to finishing, this race that you and I are in. This is what the Apostle Paul, the apostles went around the churches doing. They went around many times exhorting the church along these lines. And that's why God's laid it on my heart to exhort along these lines also. Notice over here in Acts, the 14th chapter, and in verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to what? Continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Now, this is what they went around, and they were saying this to disciples. In other words, people that had disciplined themselves to walk in the ways of the Lord. And they went around exhorting them, encouraging them, strengthening them with this word of encouragement to continue in the faith. In other words, it's not how you start, but how you finish. See, we can't be satisfied with just being born again, because Jesus said, unless a man's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, thank God, if you get born again, you can see now. But I don't even know there's a big difference between seeing the kingdom of God and entering the kingdom of God. See, he's talking to disciples that can now see the kingdom of God. They've been born again. There's a lot of things you can see now that you've been born again. You should be seeing more and more and more all the time. I mean, our eyes have been opened and getting the word of God. You should be seeing amazing things. You know, a lot of times Christians will tell unsaved people, just read the Bible, just read the Bible. Well, they can't see much, though. If they read the Bible, they can't see. There's a big veil over their eyes. They're blind. They haven't been born again. They can't see the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is what Romans tells us. They can't see the righteousness of God. They can't see the joy and the peace of the Holy Spirit. They can't see it. They haven't been born again. Their eyes aren't open. Their eyes got to be open through the new birth. Thank God our eyes have been open. And man, we should be filling them with every good thing. I'm telling you what, man. Take advantage of it and see and see and see. Because the more you can see, the more you can be free. Because Jesus said, you'll know the truth. You'll see it and it'll make you free. So you want to see as much truth as you can. You want to get in that word and see and see and see. And what's that going to do? It's going to strengthen and strengthen your faith, so your faith grows exceedingly. And there's not going to be any fear of coming up short in the area of faith. Now, we need to fear coming up short in the area of faith. Many Christians are way too casual about not being in faith about things. We need to be exercising our faith and judging ourselves of unbelief. When we're doubting God, when we're not walking in faith, acting on the faith that we have been taught, we need to take that very, very seriously, because faith got us in this thing. Faith's going to keep us in this thing. Faith got us born again. Faith in the grace of God got us born again so we can see. And faith is what's going to get us through all the lies, temptations, and tribulations of the devil, so that we can now enter in to the kingdom of God that we have seen. So he's telling folks that could see, he says now, he says, through many tribulations, we enter in to the kingdom of God. So we have to hang on to our faith. We got to watch out for unbelief. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 6, he says, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. How many people know we are Christ's house? How many living stones do we have in here? I didn't say who's living stoned. I said, how many living stones do we have in here this morning? We are living stones, so we don't have to get, yeah. But watch this now. Christ over his own house, whose house we are, if. See, a lot of folks don't know about the if. Oh, yeah, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're God's house. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. This thing ain't over yet. This thing isn't over yet. It isn't over until we cross the finish line and our bodies fall off. And we step out of them. And we stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We are his house if, he's writing to Christians, if we hold fast the confidence. What's he talking about? Faith. That faith is confidence in God, and it's full of rejoicing and hope. Confident expectation. He said, you got to hang on to that firm to the end. See, this isn't something we treat lightly. We don't treat our faith lightly. Say, I'm saved, always saved. Oh, boy. People like that are in trouble. That's a scary thing to me, for a person to be in a place like that, believing like that. Because they become so casual about their salvation. They're not going to obey the scripture and hold firm. They're not going to make sure they're staying confident. See, we can't have a day of unbelief. Unbelief is a wicked thing. Unbelief is an evil thing. We got to guard our hearts from it. Notice, come down here to verse 12. Beware, brethren. Who's he writing to? Brethren. Do we have any brethren in here? Yes. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But again, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So again, sin can get in. And it can pervert our hearts. It can cause unbelief to get into our hearts. I've seen it happen. There was a guy, he was a Bible school student, went to the same Bible school I went to, and graduated, served in the ministry, taught Bible classes. Man, he studied, he knew the scriptures, he knew the word, and anyway, the day came where he read enough things, and I don't know what else was going on in his life, but he began to doubt the Bible. He suddenly began to question the Bible. He suddenly began to question everything. He started sharing some of his doubts with me. The Lord always gave me a good answer for him to help him, to pull him out of that. But he just continued, he'd come out of it for a little while, but he just continued to sink and sink in it till one day he looked at me and said, I just don't know if I can believe this anymore. I mean, this is a guy that was in it. See, if the devil can, he'll try to pull that faith out of your heart, the very faith that has saved you, your faith in the grace of God. He could pull that out if we let the wrong things in, if we let wrong doctrine get into our mind. If we let just wrong thinking get in to our hearts, it can get down in there and cause an evil heart of unbelief to get inside us so that we depart from the living God. Are you saying someone could lose their salvation? No, I'm saying people can leave their salvation. People don't just lose it, they leave it. They leave it. Now, no one does it knowingly, but it can happen. It can happen. People can drift away from their salvation, drift away from the Lord. So he says, you got to exhort one another. Remember, we just read in Acts 14 how the apostles would go around exhorting the churches, continue in the faith, guys. You're doing awesome. Continue in the faith. Keep pressing in. Fight the good fight of faith. Keep laying hold on eternal life. Keep sowing to the Spirit, reaping everlasting life. Press it in. Press it in. Learn the goodness. Your eyes have been opened. Grow in the grace of God. Grow stronger and stronger and stronger. See to it that you're growing up spiritually. Don't remain the same
and guard your heart with all diligence. Guard yourself from the perversion that surrounds you in this corrupt world that you live in. Guard your heart. Guard yourself. Not only were they doing it, but now here it's saying, brethren, exhort one another. Understand the seriousness of this of these things, so that when you see your brother, be spiritually sensitive enough to discern whether or not they need some extra exhortation today. Don't just leave and say, well, they acted like a dope. Well, they acted like a ming-a-ng-a-ng-a-ng-a-ng. I don't think I like them anymore. Well, if they're acting wrong, then help them. Help them. Pray for them. Don't judge and criticize them. Because, again, you got to watch about judging others, because to the degree you judge others, he says, you will be judged. And he says that over in James. Hold your place here. James 5. He says in verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So the church here again needs to recognize that they could be judged. Isn't that what he's saying, brethren? Right? He's saying don't grumble or complain about one another. Don't whine and complain about grumble. I tell you what, I didn't like the way she treated me. That grumbling can get you under God's judgment. Oh, I don't have to worry about that. Jesus loved me. Okay, let's throw this scripture out. We'll just throw that out. No, he said, do not grumble against one another, brethren. Well, why not? Feels good. Because you'll be condemned. You can come under condemnation. A lot of people, they don't even understand it. They're walking around in condemnation, and they don't have their minds renewed enough to recognize why. What is condemnation? That's walking in a fearful expectation of judgment. They got this fearful expectation of judgment. That's what condemnation is. Because of maybe grumbling, maybe doing some of these things right here. He said, don't do it. He said, the judge is standing at the door. Be quick to judge yourself of grumbling. And I understand, you know, as you're growing up in Jesus, there are times where you may slip and grumble. But don't excuse it. Don't excuse it, judge it. Because if you judge it, then you can avoid the judge that is standing at the door, ready to judge you. That's what he's saying. Can you say amen? All right, coming back to Hebrews chapter 3. So he says, beware about unbelief, departing from the living God because of unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief. Watch about being hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. A little sin gets in there, and next thing you know, your heart starts getting more and more callous, more and more hard. And you get more and more hard to God. You got to guard yourself from that. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if. See, there's so many ifs in the word. So much is contingent upon things. The promises, the blessings are contingent upon things. He says, we become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. There it is again. Somebody say, I'm in it to the end. Say it again. I'm in it to the end. Yes. Hallelujah. Verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Let's jump down here to verse 19. So we see they, talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness, could not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. What did we just read over in Acts chapter 4? That through many tribulations we enter in to the kingdom of God. Through many tribulations. If we hold our confidence steadfast to the end. They could not enter in because of unbelief. He's warning us about that. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. He's talking to the church. He's telling the church, fear. Fear. See, the fear of God is for us today. The fear of God is for, we need to fear God. Why? Because if we don't fear God, there's a good chance we're going to fall short. We're going to fall short of entering the rest of God. Because we enter rest through faith. We enter the rest through faith. And he goes on and says that. Verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. See, it's not enough just to hear the word. You got to mix faith with it. Everybody say faith. Faith, 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 faith. We got to be mixing faith into what we're doing today. Faith, faith, faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, right? That's the righteousness of God. It's living by faith. It's that faith that declares us righteous in the sight of God. It's what declared Abraham righteous in the sight of God. We got to maintain faith. So when we hear the gospel, we believe it. We're looking to understand it. We're looking to get revelation on it. Right? We're looking for faith. I'm looking for my faith. Looking for my faith to come alive here in this word today. Faith. Praise God. Teach me, Lord, to tremble. Teach me to tremble, Jesus. Help me to fear you. I want to tremble. When I think of your judgments, oh, I want it to scare hell right out of my life. I fear you. I won't fall prey to any tactic of the devil. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Jump down to verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. Here we see again, falling. Falling, falling because of disobedience. He says, we got to be diligent to enter. Enter the rest. Enter the kingdom of God. Enter in. Stay in that place of faith. Live the life of faith. And then, of course, he goes on and tells us the word, verse 12. The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. Thank God the word will get in there. It'll do heart surgery on us. It'll do whatever kind of surgery needs to be done in our life to free us from all hardness, all calluses, things that would try to harden our hearts and cause us to fall into unbelief. So we got to guard ourselves. We got to protect ourselves lest we fall in unbelief. Well, fall from what? Well, fall from grace. Notice in Galatians chapter 5. How many of you know we're saved by faith? Excuse me, we're saved by grace through faith. That's what it says in Ephesians. We've been saved by the grace of God through faith. Through faith. Well, look at this. Galatians 5 in verse 4, he says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. In other words, these folks, he's talking to the church of Galatia here. They were all saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, people. They're walking in the grace of God. He said, but now you have fallen from it. In other words, you were in it. Now you fell out of it. You fell from it. Can we fall from grace? Are we saved by grace? Yeah. How would you fall from grace? By losing your faith. Letting go of your faith in the grace of God, because we're saved by grace through. See, grace is God's side. Faith is our side. We have a side. We have a part to play in it. I got news for you. Jesus died for the whole world, but most of the world, they are not saved. And many, according to the words of Jesus, most are traveling the wide road that leads to hell and destruction. And yet he died for everybody. They never received the grace. True? Thank God we received the grace. Whoosh, don't have to worry about grace anymore. Don't have to worry about faith anymore. Praise God. I received it back in 19. No. No, you received it. And now you hang on to it. And you treat it as it's the most precious thing you have ever tasted and seen in your entire life. It is the most valuable thing you have ever received. Most valuable thing you can ever possess. You have this treasure. You have this pearl of great price. And you're going to hang on to it. You're not going to lose it. You know, sometimes people lose a little money. They lose it, some jewelry. You can almost get depressed over it. They look everywhere. They search. They turn the house upside down to try to find that thing. How much more? How much more? The grace of God. This salvation that he has given to us. This deliverance from every evil thing that he has freely bestowed upon us. This relationship with him. This connection to God himself that has been given to us through grace. Grace is the connector that's made us right with God. Hallelujah. Ooh, I believe in that grace, and I continue to believe in that grace, and I'm only looking to strengthen my faith in that grace and not grow weak in faith concerning that grace. By entertaining my flesh with a lot of graceless things, I'm going to feed my faith in the grace. I'm going to feed my faith in the grace of God. It's the most precious thing to me. How about you? It needs to be. And if it's not, if you don't feel that way, that's dullness, that's hardness. And you need to repent of that, and you need to judge that, and you need to ask God for his immediate help right now to help cut off the dullness. Lord, help me to become tender before you again, God. Help me, Jesus, to be excited about my salvation. Do whatever it takes. Cry out to him. He'll hear that prayer. I pray it all the time. Lord, keep me close to you. Don't let me be dull to you. Don't let me mess up, Jesus. Don't let me mess up. Don't let me get in your way. Don't let me be a fool. Don't let me be an idiot. I just break it down for God. And he likes it because he responds immediately. He comes immediately and he helps me. Get real with him. If you're struggling, then don't put it all on you. I've got to fix myself. I've got to straighten. I got to get myself. No. Faith isn't all caught up in its works. See, don't go falling over into the works ditch. Dead works ditch. No. Faith is caught up in the grace of God. So I look to him to cause me not to mess up. I look to him to keep me maintaining good works. Lord, let good things come out of me. God, don't let my head get in the way. Don't let the devil deceive me. Don't let me get tripped up. Don't let me get tricked. Lord, draw me close to you. Lord, open my eyes. Give me understanding. Jesus, help me. And I receive that grace by faith. And then God begins to work that out in my life where I'm finding myself not tripping, falling, not being overcome, overwhelmed with fear and trials and tribulations and whatever else. His grace in my life keeps me maintaining good works, keeps me doing the right thing. But my emphasis is on him. But I also recognize when my faith is weak. How do you know when your faith is weak? Because the fruit of my life declares it. So I don't focus on trying to fix the fruit. I immediately judge myself of fruitlessness and turn to grace. And put my faith in his grace and say, fruit, I need fruit. I need help. I need help in this area. I'm not producing. I'm dull. I'm not picking up on it. I'm not excited. Help me with that. Help me with that. Lord, make me bold in my soul. Help me, Jesus, and help me to be strengthened. Thank you for encouraging me, Holy Spirit. Keep me encouraged. Make me an encouragement. Keep me walking in love. Help me to walk in love. Keep me from getting ugly. Keep me from acting angry at people. Help me to walk in love towards people. See, and he does it. His grace does it. If you're lacking in that area, don't try to fix yourself. Just recognize your faith is deficient. come over here and focus on him. I remember when I was newly saved. And it was amazing how much the Lord was teaching me, how he was leading me. You know, back when I was just newly saved. And I remember, you know, I used to be in the martial arts and I'd watch Bruce Lee a lot. And so I'd have outbursts of Yahoo-yah! If somebody cut me off on the road or something like that. And so I would have some outbursts of wrath and things like that, you know. I never hurt anybody, thank God, except in the ring. But no, seriously, I'd never really, you know, I wasn't like a violent person, but you just had those moments, you know, of anger. And I knew it wasn't right. I just got saved. I knew that wasn't right. I said, God, help me. So I went and I judged myself. And I'd go to Scripture. He just led me. I went to Scripture on the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, and about anger and sowing to the flesh, and how that's wrath is a work of the flesh. And I read those scriptures, and I found myself doing it every day. What? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. I wasn't trying to clean myself up. I was going to God to clean me up and change the situation. And as I continue to feed my faith along these lines, then his grace is going to be able to rescue me from that problem, from those temptations. Don't try to fix yourself. Get in the word of God. Let your faith get built up in the area where you're weak, and the grace of God will fix it so that God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. Everything that goes good today, God gets all the glory. I couldn't have done it. He gets all the glory. If we walk holy, if we walk right, if we do the right thing, if we don't react like a heathen, bless God, it's the grace. I know it's the grace of God. See, our faith is in the grace of God, so we're celebrating the grace of God. We're praising God for the grace of God, and we are depending on the grace of God, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, which we get through the word of God. And hearing the word of God. So that's why we love being here this morning, hearing this. Right? Because it straightens us out. We don't straighten ourselves out. You are being straightened out right now. God is doing it. He's tweaking you, and he's working on you right now. Hallelujah. So we're not trying to straighten ourselves out. We're not trying to clean ourselves up. We're not trying to be righteous in ourselves. But we are keeping our faith strong in the grace of God that has made us righteous and keeps us righteous. We take that very serious. And if we have a strong awareness of God in our life, there's a lot of things that won't even tempt us. There'll be a lot of things that won't even bother if we can have a strong awareness of him. And if we have a fear of him, you know when you trespass on private property, on devil property. You know when you trespass. That's what trespass is. You step over in devil's property. That's a trespass. You're not home anymore. You're on the devil's property. He got a shotgun. He's a mean devil. He will kill you. If he gets you on his property, he'll kill you. So, get off his property. And you know when you're trespassing. You know when you're trespassing. It's like, But if you have no fear of God, Jesus loves me. Yeah, but the devil hates you. Well, God protects me. No, he'll let the devil kill you. Huh? Yeah, no, he'll let judgment come on you. He'll let you. What is judgment? Judgment is reaping the consequences of your sin. He'll let you reap the consequences. God does not mock whatever a man sows. That's what he's going to reap. So reaping the consequences of your sin is judgment. So you run back and you hit floor and you say, God, mercy on me. I need your mercy right now. Forgive me. I stepped over. I shouldn't have done it. I know I shouldn't have done it. I know it. I repent for it. Forgive me. Cleanse me. All right. Which is easy to say. Your sins are forgiven. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. I thank you, Lord. Forgiveness brings healing. I thank you. No weapon formed against me will prosper. My righteousness is in you. Oh, thank you. Yes, you said a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he'll rise again. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Devil, you got no place in my life. I'm the righteousness of God. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? I got Jesus interceding for me and pleading my case right now because I pleaded for his mercy. Now we stand up in faith in the grace of God, and we know the devil can't mess with us. Hallelujah. You know, you do that enough times, finally, you know, you just don't cross the line anymore.
Because you know where that leads. It leads into this thing called condemnation. It puts you in a dangerous place that even if you get back, you could still get killed because you sowed to the flesh. So you know, I've got to get this seed out of me. I've got to repent for this. And you get it out of you. And you have faith in his mercy. Woo, his mercy endures forever. If we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Isn't that a wonderful truth? So here, Galatians 5:4, he says, you have fallen from grace. Fallen, fallen. We see it again, fallen. The English Standard Version says it this way. You are severed from Christ. In other words, you were connected, but now you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law. That's what we were just talking about. You're looking to yourself to justify yourself. You're looking to your works to keep you righteous. No, don't look to your works to keep you righteous, but let your works give you a warning if you are not living according to God's righteousness. Let it warn you that your faith needs help. You need to draw near to God. You need to draw near to God. You need to get your faith built up. Because every failure, every fall in life, fall to temptation, fall into sin, is the result of a lack of faith. It's a lack of faith. You can just break it up that way. See, if you understand that, any area you mess up in life, it's the result of a lack of faith. So instead of trying to fix all these areas, just fix your faith. Fix your faith in the grace of God. Just go right there, right? My faith needs help. I didn't act right. I said the wrong thing. I'm yielding to temptation. I'm feeling overcome by wrong things. I'm feeling overcome by my circumstances. What is the problem? Your faith is weak. Your faith is struggling. Go feed it. I don't have time for that. I just don't have time for that. Okay, go out of your mind then. Of course you have time for it. You got to make time. You got to do this. You got to build up your faith. And when your faith is strong, you will not faint in the day of adversity. If you faint in the day of adversity, your faith is not strong. I had one time where I literally, and I have shared it with you before, one time I literally was fainting because of fear. I literally was fainting because of fear. I mean, it turned white as a ghost. I was fainting. And when it was all over, I said, Lord, what was that? Immediately that scripture came to me. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Well, I know that my strength is my faith in the Lord, in his grace. I know that. That's the source of my strength. Ah, man, that so shook me up that I just started in Genesis and I started eating like a ferocious glutton for God. I just began to devour the Word of God. I'm reading through the Bible right now. I'm reading through the Bible, not only one day, but I'm going to start reading right now. And every day I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to read through this Bible. Because what I found myself doing, I started getting distracted from actually the Word. I like to pray and I like to do other things. And I was still doing spiritual things and edifying myself, but I wasn't feeding on the Word like I had in times past. Well, that just changed. That changed the whole situation. I just fed my faith, man. I ain't going to faint like that ever again. That caught me by surprise. That shocked me. But when I saw it, I made a change. I made a change. I didn't try to do something in the flesh to change. I went to God's word, fed my faith, and his grace changed the situation. It strengthened me. Strengthened me with might in my inner man. By his spirit, we're to be strengthened in our inner man. So he says in the English Standard, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Estranged means any kind of separation of one thing from another by which the union is destroyed, a state of separation. We know that people that are not born again are separated from God. But once you're born again, you're now connected to him. Could that connection ever be severed? Could that connection ever be severed? Can you ever be separated from him again? Yes, the scriptures clearly tell us that. We're seeing that right here in the Word of God. Actually, we go back in chapter 4 of Galatians, talking about the church. They're getting back into legalism. And he says, verse 10, you observe days and months, seasons and years.
Now all of a sudden you're caught up on the Sabbath day.
We believe the Sabbath day is on Saturday, so we're going to celebrate on Saturday, and we don't believe you should do anywhere.
And people get Christians. You see, Christians get all caught up in these things. Now it's about the Sabbath day, it's
about the Jubilee. It's the Jubilee. It's the 50th year.
Jesus is our Jubilee. And Jesus is our Sabbath rest. He fulfilled all that. But here they want to go back to observing all these Jewish things, customs, that were for those that were under the law. Now Jesus has come and fulfilled those things. We're not going to go backwards. We're going forwards. In verse 11, he says, I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Wow. That's pretty serious. Notice here back in chapter 1, this is how he starts off the epistle to the Galatians. And he says in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. You're pursuing a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert or distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Do you see the seriousness of this? Paul here is recognizing what's happening to the church. All these false doctrines are coming in. He says, let these guys that are coming in, trying to deceive you by distorting the gospel, let them be accursed. He says it two times. I mean, he's serious about this. He said, I'm afraid for you. He's not just, you know, he doesn't just fear God for himself. Now he says, I'm afraid for you. As I've labored for you in vain after all that we've done together has been in vain. What good is it if you got saved? We had revival meetings, there were miracles and healings, and great things happened, but then you fall away. You grow cold. You fall from the grace of God. It would all be in vain. Everything we would have done would have been in vain. He says, I fear for you. So you see, we need to have a healthy fear of God. It is a part of the New Testament believer. And it's a good thing. It's good. It sobers you. Some of you are starting to feel, I can see it. You're starting to feel a little sober. That's good. It's good. We're not going to walk around depressed and worried because we have confidence in his mercy and his love that endures forever, right? He's so good to us. God's not willing that any should perish. He gives us time. He gives us space to get things right. But don't abuse it. Don't treat it lightly. Love him. Lay hold of that grace. Esteem it and never let it go. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.